Revelation 20, verse number 10. The Bible said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." I say hallelujah for that day. Thank God when the devil's cast away. "Where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to his work, to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Jump over to chapter 21, verse 8. Chapter 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Our Father, tonight in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, for letting us gather again this place. Lord, if nothing else tonight, to have heard that last song, God, to remind us once again, that Lord, we have so much waiting, God, for us and the world beyond. Lord, I'd rather be here tonight than be somewhere in a ballroom with rich people. Lord, I'd rather be here tonight, God, than be somewhere the president of a big company. Lord, I thank you tonight for saving us. I thank you, Lord, for your eternal salvation. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God, tonight. Lord, it means much to us now. Lord, I'm sure, God, the day that we step from this life into the world to come, the reality of it grips our heart even more than ever. God, we'll be more thankful then than we've ever been. I'm thankful, God, tonight for what you've done for us. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help me tonight. I don't know the hearts of the people here. I know what you've told me to preach. And Lord, I pray that somehow, Lord, a message like this shouldn't even just be for a sinner. But God, it ought to stir up every saint. And I pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help us. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, God, for the work that's went on here and is going on of the churches in the area, God, and all over the world, God, that's trying, God, to do the same thing. God, trying to point men away from the wrath to come, and God, to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please tonight help me to do that. I don't care if I'm ever remembered, God, for a word I say. God, please tonight plant a word from you down deep in the hearts of everyone here. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to try tonight to confine myself to basically the reading of the scriptures. The Holy Ghost so reminded my heart this morning that the power is in the Word of God. Jesus said, "The words that I speak of the flesh profiteth nothing." John 6:63. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Hebrews 4:12 said, "The word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart." Word of God's where the power's at. Not my word, it's God's word. I want to preach tonight. I'm sure you've heard it preached on. You preachers probably preached on it, no doubt. I want to preach on the great white throne judgment, or else the second death. I've read about, I love history. I like to study history, and I've always loved it. And I've studied about the fall of the Roman Empire and how it fell. And I've studied about the things that led to her destruction. And greatest empire the world's ever known was the Roman Empire. But she fell. Her sin brought her down. I thought about the Aztec civilization. What a great civilization they were, but their sin brought them down. And here is in our Bible tonight the final story of humanity and her final judgment at the end of the world. Bible said that it's appointed to men once to die. I know you've heard this verse so many times. It's appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. No wonder, friend, when people read the book of the Revelation that they want to think that it's a spiritualized thing or it's an allegorized thing. But friend, it's not spiritual and it's not allegorized. It's the real true story of what's going to happen at the consummation of the age. At the end of the world, God is going to judge people and bring them back together. At this year, I'll coast out real quickly and try to come to my thought. This year we put a play on at the church at Christmas. And honestly, I say this as humbly as I know how. I've never seen nothing like it, how God touched it in my whole life. We got a big choir loft, and our choir loft's probably double the size of this, and maybe more. And we had stage built up, and we took white sheets, and we covered everything in white. And the final scene all through it, from everybody that died without God, it took about 60 people to put the play on. And at the end of the service, we had a big white throne built, and the Lord Jesus walked up that ramp and sat down on the throne and consigned people to hell. There was everything up there was white, and people were shouting, and others was weeping, and others was crying. There's probably 400 people there, friend, we talked about how the Lord Jesus is going to finally take the throne and judge lost humanity for what they've done in their life. I want to just look at several little thoughts here. I'm sure you've heard it preached before, but I really hope God will help us. Let me say, number one, this is the final judgment. There is no judgments after this judgment. This is the judgment of the unbelieving dead. He said in verse 12 twice and in verse 13 twice that the dead are judged there. It occurs just after the millennium. It's based upon individual works, and it proves that punishment is deserved. Although people stand there because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they're judged by and for their works. At this time in history, everything stable, solid, familiar in the universe has faded away. It's melted with fervent heat. Every landmark, every stone, every hiding place is gone. Nothing is left but emptiness, loneliness, a throne, a figure, a face, and a creeping fear. This is the final judgment as far as mankind is concerned. Listen, after this, the affairs of the human race will be put on a different footing. The present arrangements will be different. Nowhere is it stated in your Bible that after this, at this time in the history of mankind, will anybody ever be offered salvation again. It seals the fate of lost humanity. It's done and done forever. What the plan of redemption on earth was intended to accomplish has been accomplished. The agency of the Holy Ghost converting sinners is done. The means of saving grace and the offer of mercy will never be offered anymore. There'll never be another sacrifice, another prayer, another preaching, another message, another invitation. This is the end time. It is the final judgment as far as humanity is concerned. There'll be no acquittals are served, no appeals are sought, and no awaiting sentence. I'm saying this is the final judgment as far as man is concerned. Secondly, let me say this, let me build a minute. Let me say, not only is there a final judgment, but notice the face at this judgment. Look at verse 11. The Bible said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Who is on the throne? Does it make any difference who is really seated on this throne? I know you've heard these things probably, but I want to take the time to preach them as though we've never heard them. There is a face on the throne. Who is this on this throne? Bible said somebody sitting there. Look in John chapter number 5. Who will be sitting on the throne in this day? John chapter number 5. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 22. John 5:22. Jesus said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Look at verse 27. Hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. I believe I can say with that verse alone that the face sitting on the throne is no less than the Son of God. The Jesus that came into this world, born in a manger, and lived and grew up in Joseph's house and Mary's house, walked the shores of Galilee, the one friend that one day was nailed to an old rugged cross, despised and rejected of men. Amen. This is the one, no doubt, that will sit on the throne. Look, and let's prove this a little further. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Stay with us. I can quote these verses. I want you to look at them. Matthew chapter 7. Look here in Matthew 7, verse number 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith, listen to these words now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen to this statement. Many will say to who? To me. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out, I prophesied thy name cast out devils, thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Again, Jesus is saying, in that day, the one, can you get this? I remember the time when I was just a young preacher and I read that verse and how it stood out at me. I've never got over it, Brother Rick. Jesus is looking at that crowd and he's saying, listen, son, you understand what I'm saying to you. He said, you're going to say to me someday, you're going to reject me, you're going to crucify me, you're going to put me on a cross, but someday it's going to be me. It's going to be me that you're begging to let you into heaven and let you into the kingdom of God. It's going to be me that you're begging, and I'll say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. Look, if you will, please, at one other verse. Look at Acts chapter 10. I'm just trying to establish something here. Acts chapter 10. Look what he said in verse number 42. Acts 10:42. Every Bible here, please turn with me. Acts 10:42. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick, that's the saved, at the judgment seat of Christ, and the dead at the great white throne judgment. God has ordained that man be judged by the Lord Jesus, God the Father. And I know that's hard to really get a hold of, but if I could say it that way, Jesus said the Father hath judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. It's Jesus Christ that man will one day stand before to give an account. Look in Acts 17. I just want to keep driving this home to us. I believe the word's got power. Look in Acts 17. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There's another verse that says it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4 said that he's going to judge the quick and the dead. Get it in your mind. At the close of the history of humanity, it's going to be the Son of God, the same Jesus that they plucked the beard from his face, and they beat his back, and they marred his face till there was no looking like a man. Amen. Can you get a hold of him? The last time earth seen him before he resurrected, his face was bruised and battered and swollen and bleeding and spit dropping off of it. Amen. He gave his back to the spiders and his face to them that pulled the hair from his face. But one day, friend, when he sits on the throne, it's not going to be that beat and that bruised, battered face. Amen. Daniel said in Daniel 7, his face is going to be like a flaming fire. Amen, friend. I'm telling you, it's Jesus that the world is going to have to face in that day. Let's just study on a minute. Go back to Revelation 20:11. I promise you all this is going up to one thing. Revelation 20:11. The Bible said, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face it's the final judgment. There's a face at that judgment, but it's a fearful judgment, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. May I picture this? I can't picture it in my mind, but I try. There'll be nothing, nowhere. I personally believe that this judgment will take place suspended in God's third heavens. And there'll be nothing, nowhere. There'll be nothing to hide from. Nothing to get away and hide behind. Right now, men hide behind church memberships. They hide behind preachers. They hide behind mothers and daddies and excuses of a million kinds. But in that day, friend, there'll be nowhere to hide. I'm reminded of that when the World Trade Tower centers fell there in New York. You remember seeing them people run. You remember them running, trying to get away. You remember on the TV, you could hear them in the background. They was hollering, run, 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 run. I remember when the tsunami hit. And we've got one of our missionaries out of our church. We've got two missionaries out of our church. And one of them's in Malaysia now. When that tsunami hit there in Thailand and Indonesia and around back in Christmas 2004, you see on the TV them people running. They're trying to escape that water's coming in. The day when it hit Japan, you remember them running. But can you imagine, friend, people running in that day, trying to get away, trying to find somewhere to get away from the face of the one sitting on the throne. Oh, one day he was the lovely, darling Lamb of God, the lowly Jesus. But in that day, he won't be the lowly, meek one. He'll be the one with fire streaming out his eyes. Amen. Men are trying to get away and they cannot flee from his face. It's going to be a fearful time. I wish we could get a hold of that. My wife said the other night when that tsunami hit in Japan, we turned the TV on, was looking at it, and of course, different pictures coming in. And my wife's sitting crying, watching it, and we both was thinking the same thing. She spoke before I did. She said, you know, so that's awful. She said, but what's it going to be like in judgment morning? People trying to get away. They showed a picture of a daddy with his holding up in a tree, hung in a tree, water licking at his feet, holding his little boy, holding everything he could with one hand, trying to keep his little boy from being sucked away with the other hand. What's it going to be in that day when they look upon the throne
and it strikes in their heart that they've rejected the Jesus of Calvary. They've rejected the Son of God. They've rejected their only source of redemption. They've rejected their only source of salvation. They've rejected their only way of getting mercy with God. They've rejected their only way into heaven. And it dawns on them that they are going to have to answer to a holy God. Earth and heaven has melted now with a fervent heat. It's gone. Things is going to be on a different order. It's a final judgment. The face of the judgment. The fearful judgment. May I say early, it's a faultless judgment. A flawless judgment. Going to be no mistakes made here. If you disagree with me, just bear with my thoughts and I'll bear with yours. But not everybody agrees with me on this. I'm not sure I agree with myself on it. But listen at me a minute. Most people think that the judgment of the great white throne is going to be over like that. I don't believe that. I don't. If God wants to take a month in human terms to prove to this fella that he don't deserve heaven, what's a month to God? God's going to start stacking, we'll see it in a minute, piece by piece, evidence by evidence. See, right now, he's the defense attorney. But in that day, he's going to change sides on the courtroom. He's going to be the prosecuting attorney. And there's going to be no mistakes, no misrepresentations, nobody's going to buy OJ off. Nothing's going to let anybody get by. It's going to be flawless and faultless. And you listen to this. When the judgment is handed down that fella deserves to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, he's going to know beyond any shadow of any doubt that he deserves just what he's getting. It's a flawless judgment. It's a fierce judgment. There'll be no mercy, no grace, no tenderness, no patience, no kindness, no long suffering, no winking at man's ignorance, no forgiveness to be offered. This judgment is strictly by the legal codes of God's law. Are you listening at me? A fierce judgment. I want to say this tonight before I go to the next truth. A message like this should do just as much for a sinner, saint, if not more, than it does to a sinner. Then it's going to be a factual judgment. Look at verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, not a book, books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I preached this message at our church about 10 years, been over that. It's been 12, 14, I guess. I have a large library and have a lot of books. And so I thought, I would kind of make a little illustration. I don't do that much. I stacked 40 volumes of Barnes Notes up on one place. And I stacked 30, 40 volumes of another up on another. And I stacked, 25, 30 volumes. I had books all over the stage. People come in, they look. And I purpose not to come out until right at preaching time. I didn't want them to ask me no questions. And I said, there was a guy there at the time named Dennis Widener. I said, Dennis Widener, you're summoned to judgment. And I come up and I say, here's the story of your life. 40 volumes. The story of your life. God's going to take these books and God's going to judge you from the books that have been written about your life. you six books I believe will be opened at the judgment of the great white throne. First of all, the book of life will definitely be there. The Bible said there's another book, which is the book of life. People's names are recorded in that book. Don't y'all get tired, please pray. People's names are recorded in that book that are saved. But he don't bring the book because of the unsaved. He brings the book to prove that their name's not in the book of life. Look at verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. He first says, search the record books. See if your name is not there for sure. Be sure your name was never recorded in the book of life. I mean, it's going to be factual. I don't know, Brother Carl, I don't know how the names are recorded in the book. I don't know. Bible don't tell us. I know this, according to the Old Testament record, names are important. God gives records after record after record after record of names. I don't know where they're recorded in the alphabetical order. Maybe they're recorded in the sequence of time. From Adam to every minute somebody was born, God wrote their name. I don't know how they are. Maybe they're recorded in chronological order in the way they got saved. Maybe they're recorded, I know this is maybe a far stretching, but in my mind, I want to think maybe God will call them by nations. Everything God done in the Bible was by nations. I wonder if he might call nations and nations that have had different privileges and different opportunities and more light, and somehow, however they're recorded, God's going to say, go to the appropriate place and be sure that Joe's name is not there in the record. The record is searched. Whoever the record keeper is, you read all through the Bible about record keepers in the house of God. Whoever the record keeper is in heaven, whatever angel has the job in heaven or keeping the record books of God, God's going to say, search the books and the record. And sir, I find no record that John Doe was ever born again. And God's going to say, okay, then let's get the books together. Let's look at the books. What books will be opened? What books will be opened against you if you're lost in that day? May I say, number one, not on the book of life, there's the book of God's word. Look in Romans chapter 2. Y'all still with me out there? Look in Romans chapter 2. Please, everybody, please, Romans chapter 2. Look at it now. Romans 2. Look at verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. John 17:17 said, thy word is truth. Now jump down to verse number 12. He says this, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. In other words, that's God's law. Now, if you look at verse 13, it starts with a parenthesis. And in verse 15, ends with a parenthesis. So this is an addition to the thought that he's staying in verse 12. And the subject in verse 12 is that they're going to be judged by the law. And he picks up verse 16 with his thought. If you look at verse 12, here's what he's saying. Verse 12, for as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. The thought picks back up in verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. They're going to be judged by the law of God. Listen, salvation's by the mercy of God. Judgment's by the law of God. God's going to take the word of God and every jot and tittle of the Old Testament law, he's going to judge the sinner thereby and consign him to the lake of fire. The law. There are 613 commands in the Old Testament alone. Don't you go sleep on me. the law, the word, the Bible. Look at John 12. Look at John 12. John chapter 12. I've got further to drive than any of you now. Just please stay with me. John chapter 12. Look at verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I'm come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. You know, it's this. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I thought you said a while ago he's going to judge. He's talking about his first coming right here. I didn't come to judge. If he don't believe me right now, if he hears my words and he don't believe me right now, I'm not going to judge him right now. God sent not his son into the world, condemned the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For I come not to judge the world, that's when he come the first time, but to save the world. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. God, listen to this. God's going to open this Bible. Forever, O Lord, thy word settled in heaven. God's going to use the word of God. People spit on the Bible, make fun of the Bible. We wrote the Bible. I want to make a statement tonight. I believe with every ounce and fiber of my being, I believe a King James Bible's in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word settled in heaven. I believe you'll find the same word and glory as you find right here in your Bible on the earth. God's going to take this book. He's going to start over there in the book of Genesis. He's going to turn through the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. God's going to put you to the test through the law of God. And you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like a sharp axe hewing away at a block of wood. God's going to take it and prove beyond any shadow of any doubt that you deserve to be in hell for denying and rejecting the word of God. It's going to be his word, not just the grace part of it. It's going to be the law part of it. Are you listening? The book of life, the book of God's word, on and on and on we could say. Jesus said this one day, oh, it's so looked over. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's going to open. Give me some songbooks. He's going to open the book of life. Can I get this? The book of life must be a big book. He's going to first open the book of life. Look for the names, and it's not going to be there. Then he's going to open the Bible and start judging by the Bible. The third book I believe he'll open, look if you will, please, in Ecclesiastes 12. Turn right straight to it. Ecclesiastes 12. Look here at it. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of works. Everything's ever been done. Oh, help me, God. Please help these people listen. Everything that you've ever done, God's got it recorded. Ever work. I could say so much right there. Every secret thing. Every fornication. Adultery. Every secret work. Malice, strife, hatred. Trying to destroy a church. Lying, cheating, stealing. Everything. It's coming into judgment. Everything. Although I've preached this message many times, to be totally honest, this is the message I've preached more than any other message I've ever preached in my life. I've preached it many times. I was sitting over there on that couch in your prophet's chamber today. And by the way, thank you so very much for a quiet place to stay. And I was reading this again. And I thought about my works before I got saved. I've never told many things I got into. I've never told a soul. My wife don't know many things. My parents don't know. Many of them I'll never tell if God give me my mind. I have literally prayed and asked God to let me keep my mind that many of the things, Brother Sutton, that I did before I got saved will go to my grave with me. I'm not going to get up and tell them. I was sitting in that couch and, well, the Holy Ghost got to working in my heart. All I could see was thank you, dear God, for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness, grace. They're not coming up. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. They cast behind God's back. They're gone in the blood. Somebody said, "Why? How can a sin get gone in the blood?" Best illustration I can tell you is boil the Atlantic Ocean. Whole lot of water there. Bring it to a solid rock boil, the Atlantic Ocean, till it's bubbling with heat and boiling. Take you one spoon of instant coffee and throw it into the ocean and see if you can even stain the water with it. When my black, dirty sin met the red, pure blood of Jesus, it's gone. Oh, thank you, dear God. I'll never face my record of my sins. He opens the book of life. The name's not there. Then he opens the Bible and he judges by the Bible. Then he takes your personal record, the deeds you've done in your life, and he opens the book. And there's a little baby, a little child, you lied to mama. There you got to be a teenager and all the nights on town that you cheated and stole and drunk and told dirty jokes and looked at pornography and, well, there's a page where you committed fornication. But there's a page where you stepped out on your marriage vows. But there's a page where you cussed God. Page after page of your life. Oh, no wonder they're trying to hide. No wonder they're trying to get away. Page after page. Book after book, year after year. Maybe just one book of the first year. By the time you get to be a teenager, it may have took 3 or 4 or 5 books to write all you done in your teenage years. Maybe there's a book on your married life. There's a book when you got old, how you got bitter and hated God. The book of life. The book of God's Word. The book of works. Works. Look in Matthew chapter 12 at another book I believe will be opened. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 verse 36. Verse 34. Oh, generation of vipers. And I read this verse, Brother Sutton, help me here, preacher, sometime. I mean this seriously. I read this and I'm not really sure what Jesus is saying. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you be evil, being evil, speak good things? It seems to me like Jesus is saying, I don't understand you. How can you speak good things when I know your heart's as evil as it is? But you know what I get out of that? The most deceptive thing in the world is people who talk one talk away from the presence of God and His things and talk another in His presence. I think it's the epitome and the height of hypocrisy and evil. Look at verse 36. He said, but I say unto you that, look at it now, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The book of words. God has every word, if you're lost, you've ever said, and saved also.
Before you got saved, they're gone. Every idle word. I was sitting in a hospital some years back, brother, and I was waiting with a family. A preacher, you know, it was an odd time in a hospital. I was waiting with a family, and we'd talked and talked and talked. Well, everybody got tired of talking, one of them 8-9 hour surgeries. And I reached over on a table, and there was a Science Digest laying there. It's been about 14 years ago. And I picked up that Science Digest. I was just flipping through it, and I come upon an article that said, man's words. Well, this is interesting. I think I'll read it. Listen to this. It's not made up. Scientists, Sister Sutton, are now saying that they think the time will come that they will be able to record and recall every word that's ever been spoken from the beginning of time. You say, I don't believe that. Well, humor me a minute. All words are, you understand, is two vocal cords. And those vocal cords scrub together, and as they scrub, we learn to enunciate what we call words. And all words are vibrations. I don't mean to get so bogged down here because I've got a long way to drive, but the reason some people can sing and some can't. Do you know why? Do you know why some people can sing and some people can't? Start with, first, it's their vocal cords. They don't scrub together. Some will scrub more tender than others so they can get higher. But the biggest reason that some can't sing is their ear. There are 270 vibrations in music. And a good ear can hear those vibrations, and so they can hear the tones and they can sing in tune. An ear that can't hear the vibrations right can't stay in tune. And so all words are vibrations. So when I speak a word, a vibration starts and it vibrates to you and you hear it. So somewhere scientists are telling us now that in the atmosphere below the canopy, in the atmosphere, every word that's ever been spoken is still vibrating. In other words, words are eternal. And if you think about that, have to be. Really, that have to be. Because we're created in the image of God. God's Son's called the Word. And God's Word's eternal. And so it must be that our words are eternal. Does that bother you? Our words must be eternal. And so the scientists are saying now that they think the day will come that they can take all of their computerized technology, they can do it today just by vibrations. They can, you know, the FBI can take vibrations on a tape and determine who spoke what. And they say the day will come that they can pull all those vibrations back down out of the atmosphere and record them and then separate them and give every individual vibration its own code, like a DNA code. There'll be a DNA code to the voice. And they can go all the way back to the beginning of time. And every word's ever been spoken, they say, Carl Sutton said that. Rick Shoemaker said that. Do you think God's not recording every word? I'm losing some of you all. Every word going to give an account. Every word of gossip. Dirty, filthy, vulgarity. Blaspheming, cussing God, dirty jokes, every word of lying and malice and bitterness and slander, and God's going to bring all that together. I'm trying to say to you, judgment's coming. This ain't a fiction story, friend. I'm preaching the Bible. I remember, I know I'm taking a little time here, but I remember preaching many years back this same message. I don't preach it often. I only preach when I know God touches my heart. And a man in the congregation came to me after service that night. And here's what he said to me. He said, do you believe what you preached? I said, yes, sir. I sure do, sir. He said, if what you preached is true, then I am going to hell. I said, why? What makes you say that? He said, because you said the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I said, that's what the Bible said. He said, then I've got to be lost. I said, why do you think you're lost? He said, I cannot tell the truth. He said, I do not care what I tell. If it's 6 inches, I'll say 10. If it's a pound, I'll say 2. If it's 70 degree, I'll say 75 or 65. If it's an inch of snow, I'll say 6 inches. He said, I cannot tell the truth. Every lie you've ever told, you're lost. The book of life, the book of God's word, the book of works, the book of words, and the pile's getting higher. And there stands the sinner saying, oh my God, I did not realize going to give an account for all this. A couple other books and I'm about done. Look at Romans chapter 2 real hurriedly. Romans chapter 2. I'm just about done. Look at this thought. We read a minute ago. Romans 2. We read a minute ago about verse 12, the judgment by the law, verse 16, in the day of judgment. Look at verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts. The meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He's seemingly saying that God's keeping a record of thoughts. Your thought pattern. Anybody listen to me? It's all quiet out there. God records your thoughts. Job 42:2 said, he knoweth my thoughts afar off. Not a thought in my mind, but he knoweth it all together. Your thoughts. If a man's speech is so dirty, how much more dirty must his mind be? If America's speech on TV is that dirty, how much more dirty must be their mind. I've had thoughts, I say this as humbly as I know how, I have had thoughts that I thank God nobody will ever get to see. And you have too. You have too. And so, there's another book, the book of thoughts. Look at the last book I believe will come, Psalm 139, and I'm done. Psalm 139, I'm just about done. Psalm 139. May I run through it one more time? The book of, give me a song book. The book of life. The book of God's word. The book of works. The book of words. The book of thoughts. The last book, Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You believe that? You believe God put you in your mother's womb? Then it'd be a sin to kill a baby. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Watch verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance. Substance is what you're made of. Yet being unperfect or immature, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. What's that saying? God's got a book of pictures. He put your picture in a book. before you was ever born, he began to put your picture in his book. Now watch me. I used to preach and I had, at this point, I had my wife and I's picture right here in my Bible. I've always carried it in my Bible, but it's another Bible. It's a new Bible. Watch me. I mentioned the other night, somebody made reference to it. I think, about the little fellow that I'd had to get home to. That little boy that we've raised, he's like an apple of my eye. I love him dearly. He's 17. He'll be graduating in 2 months. My wife started, we've kept him since he was 6 weeks old. My wife is a picture nut. She carries a camera in her purse. She takes pictures of everything. If there's ever a crime, I guarantee she'll catch it. She's snapping all the time. End of the day, she goes back, and some that don't look so good, she just erases them from her little disc. She started, sister, when Matthew was 6 weeks old, snapping pictures. And she started herself a scrapbook of him. And his first picture in school. And all sorts of little things around it. Second grade, and all sorts of little stuff. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. He's a big basketball player. He scores about 30 points a game. She's got everything that's ever written of him. They interview him every Friday night just about. They interview him hoping to get him a college scholarship and then play some ball, help pay for his education. And she's got all of his ball things and all his little medals and all his little awards. And she started a scrapbook and picture after picture. And page after page of what he did and where he was and what he won and page after page after page after page. And the day he graduates, he don't even know she's doing it. He ain't never seen it. And the day he graduates, she's going to give him his book and say, I've kept up with you from the day you was born. I've kept up with you. God's going to open the book of life and the book of God's word and the book of words and the book of thoughts and all the books God's going to open, and he's going to open your picture in the front of the book. See, right here you were before you was ever born. You was just a little fetus, imperfect. I saw your substance as you grew in the womb. Right here's where you was born, the day you was born. I was there the night Matthew was born. Over here's where you turned one and two. There's where you took your first smoke. First straw pot. First dope. First premarital sex. First time you cussed me. Oh, right there's where you sat in church and God spoke to you. Right there's where you turned me down the next Sunday. Page after page after page. Of your life. It's like a video camera screen. Then, not only it's a factual judgment, it's a forever judgment. And here's the outline, and I'm done, of the last day. This is the outline, I think, of the last day. First, there will be a believing. You'll believe that day. Then there will be a bowing. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then there will be a binding. Hand and foot. And then there will be a burning in the lake of fire. That's an awful statement. That's an awful picture. Sister, if you'd come to the piano, I'm about done. Look at me, everybody. Don't go home yet. Just hear me out just another minute. Don't miss the last point. There's one other truth that I've left out to the very last. There is freedom from this judgment. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. If you'll get saved, you know what God do? Book by burn. He'd do away with your record. Clean, white, fresh, new start. And you won't stand at the great white throne. You'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And standing beside you will be God's own Son. Can I close like this? I didn't know how I was going to close, but let me close like this. You know, the Bible talks about the blood speaking, various places in the Bible, the blood speaking. I kind of believe this in my mind. If I'm wrong again, just bear with my ignorance. I kind of believe this. The Bible talks about the Father, the Son sitting at the right hand of the Father and the blood on the mercy seat. I kind of believe this, brother. I think we think that Jesus is all the time up there praying for us, and maybe He is in a lot of ways. I guess He is. But I believe this is kind of what He does. I believe it's kind of what He does. The blood speaks. And I believe what He does, He just sits there on the throne. And when sins come up before the Father, I believe He just points toward the mercy seat. I don't believe He says a word. He just points, and the Father looks over at the blood, and the blood speaks of His death and of His perfect life. And standing there that day, if you're saved at the judgment seat of Christ, two separate judgments, the blood and God's living Son will stand by you, and you won't have to open your mouth. You'll never say a word. He'll say, "Your Honor, here to represent the accused. Please search the books. I find no fault." But if you're lost, what I've preached about tonight will be your record. Don't go to hell.